Radio Prague News.
Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka is on a visit to France. Metrostaff has broadened a complaint against the city of Prague, and police uncovered a major pervitin lab. Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka began a two-day visit to France on Thursday, his first trip to the country as Prime Minister. Mr. Sobotka met French President François Hollande. A meeting with the French Prime Minister is scheduled for Friday. Mr. Sobotka's agenda has been dominated by trade and investment issues, as well as Europe's energy security and EU affairs. Mr. Sobotka, who is leader of the Czech Social Democrats, is also due to attend several events held by the French Socialist Party as part of their campaign ahead of European elections. In related news, the Czech Prime Minister, speaking in France after meeting President Hollande, said Russia needed to reduce its military presence along the border with Ukraine and to ease tensions in the area. He added that the Czech Republic was watching developments there with concern. Mr. Sobotka also maintained that Prague and Paris held similar views on developments in Ukraine, namely that the massive concentration of Russian troops on the Ukraine border was escalating pressure and could be considered an act of intimidation. The construction company Metrostaff has broadened for the second time a complaint against Prague City Hall over Blanka Tunnel and an alleged unpaid 3.7 billion crowns for the project, which includes a new bridge in the Prague-Troja area. Prague City Hall said it had the funds to pay off bills due, but no legal framework for payment after it came to light that contracts between Metrostaff and the city might be invalid. The matter ended up in arbitration court. Blanka Tunnel is expected to cost Prague some 36 billion crowns in total. It was originally meant to be opened in May. Now a date in September is being discussed. The office of the president has been ordered to return a building seized by Czechoslovakia's former communist regime to relatives of the original owners. The family home, located within the vicinity of Prague Castle, was seized by the state in 1957 for security reasons. The state now has 3 days after receiving the verdict to sign an agreement with the family on restitution. Although the decision is binding, the office of the president is reportedly considering taking the matter to the Supreme Court. A lab for the production of the illicit drug pervitin, uncovered by the police on Wednesday in the region of Karlovy Vary, was capable of producing dozens of kilos of the methamphetamine worth tens of millions of crowns. The police commented it was not often they saw a facility of comparable size. 3 people reportedly of Vietnamese descent were arrested and several kilos of the drug were seized. The Czech news agency reported it took officers equipped with gas masks 2 trips with a transport vehicle to remove chemicals from the site. Early estimates suggest that more than 50 kilos of pervitin were produced there. In other news, a Czech man found last December in Oslo suffering from amnesia had past debts in the Czech Republic amounting to around 400,000 crowns, news website IDNES reports. The website said that the Czech, who had been going by the name John Smith after he was rescued laying in a snowdrift in December and suffering memory loss, was employed for 4 years as a web administrator for the Czech Interior Ministry and was formerly officially listed as a legal expert in cybernetics. Distraint procedures were launched against him in 2012 after he failed to pay off bills, including his monthly mortgage, he explained in an interview. His apartment, he said, was confiscated and sold off. Mr. Smith, as he refers to himself, has suggested he will not return to the Czech Republic for fear of his life. He maintained earlier he had been held against his will and sexually assaulted before he was found. He has no recollection of how he ended up in Norway. The Norwegian police are running an investigation. Turning to sport now and hockey in the NHL playoffs on Wednesday, the Montreal Canadiens edged the Tampa Bay Lightning 5-4 in overtime. Tomáš Plekanec scored for the Habs in the first period, tying the game at that point at 1-1. And in other hockey news, the new coach of the national Czech squad, Vladimír Růžička, has said he will hold a spot open on the roster for star player Jaromír Jágr after his NHL club, the New Jersey Devils, failed to make the playoffs. However, he stressed there was no pressure. The 42-year-old still has to take a final decision on whether to play. I'm Jan Vellinger. That's all the news for now.
Hello, Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague with me, Chris Johnston. Today, the Czech Republic is facing European pressure to give foreigners their political rights. Juvenile violence in schools and possible remedies are again in the spotlight. And in today's panorama, we check up on the progress of a Czech project to return a rare horse to the wild. All that coming up, so stay with us. The Czech Republic is facing proceedings at the EU's Court of Justice over restricting the political rights of EU nationals residing in the country. They can run in local and European elections, but are not allowed to join Czech political parties or form their own. This goes against EU law, and although lawmakers had years to adapt Czech legislation to end the discrimination, these steps have only recently got underway. Jan Richter has the details.
There are only a few foreigners, mostly Slovaks and one Italian economist, among the 857 Czech candidates registered for the upcoming elections for the European Parliament. Foreign nationals permanently residing in the country can also run in local elections, but Czech legislation prevents them from joining Czech political parties or from establishing their own. On Wednesday, the European Commission again warned the Czech Republic, along with Poland and Latvia, that this contradicts EU rules. The Commission argues that foreigners are at a disadvantage in these circumstances compared with local citizens when standing as candidates. The Czech debate on allowing foreign nationals with permanent residency permits to join political parties has been going on for quite some time. But with the exception of the then Constitutional Court judge Vojtěch Šimíček, who in 2007 came out in favor of changing the legislation, few other officials felt this was an urgent problem that needed addressing. Pavel Čižinský is a human rights lawyer who works with migrants advocacy groups.
The debate sometimes sparks xenophobic reactions about foreigners who don't want to integrate but want their rights. But I don't think these are strong enough to affect legislation. In my opinion, the problem is that this is not a priority and many people don't even know about it.
Moreover, traditional Czech political parties are going through a crisis, losing thousands of members at the moment. Mr. Čižinský says that in the 12 years he's worked with foreigners in the Czech Republic, only one person mentioned they felt discriminated against because he could not join a political party in the Czech Republic. Human rights advocates argue, however, that giving immigrants the chance to take part in political life would allow them to better integrate in society. But Czech legislators will probably act because of a more mundane motivation. The country will face legal action by the European Commission if it does not bring its law in line with EU legislation. Jarmila Balážová is the spokeswoman for Human Rights Minister Jiří Dienstbier.
Last December, the Government's Committee for Foreigners' Rights recommended the government assign the Interior Ministry to draft legislation that would allow foreigners with permanent residency to join political parties. That bill should be presented to the government by the end of this year.
The European Commission, meanwhile, has given the Czech Republic 2 months to respond to the criticism. If it fails to justify its position, the case will be referred to the EU's Court of Justice.
Jan Richter there outlining the slow path to political rights for foreigners in the Czech Republic. A recent incident at a home for children with behavioural problems, where two teenagers brutally attacked their teacher with a screwdriver, has sparked a debate on the criminal liability of minors, with the Education Minister proposing tougher punishment for juvenile perpetrators of violent crimes. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
The incident in the town of Králíky, east of Prague, has highlighted a serious problem in Czech society, growing aggression both in the classroom and in homes for children with behavioural problems. In the course of last year alone, the authorities registered 68 physical attacks on teachers, 12 of them exceptionally serious. Education Minister Marcel Chládek said his patience was at an end.
It's time for us to give teachers a special status and proper protection. We have seen them attacked, punched in the face, and beaten up. What are we waiting for? To see someone killed? This incident demands action, and we are not going to correct the situation by a week-long ban on bedtime stories. I'm going to push for legislation that will open the way for tougher punishment, be it of minors or their parents, for acts of brutality and aggression.
The minister wants to take a leaf out of Slovakia's book, where the authorities gave their teachers protected status 5 years ago, and move to tighten the laws on crimes committed by minors. The move, which would have to win approval in the government and parliament, has sparked a heated debate in the country, with proponents of repression versus those advocating re-education and special care at loggerheads. Child psychologist Lucie Kovářová says the situation requires a combination of both.
14-year person is capable of knowing that while having screwdriver in his hand and punching the teacher, it's not okay, it can be hurtful, and he should be punished. So yes, I totally agree with lowering the limit, the age limit, for punishing younger people. Up to 12, 13 is absolutely okay with me. That is another thing in this institution. These children are often seeing the world as we, as those who live there, against them, those who care for us, and they are our enemies. The state and this institution is our enemies, and this should be addressed, and this must be changed. The approach of our state, of the government, must be changed, because as long as they will be seen as those who need to be fixed and repaired, we are just creating another generation of criminals.
The age of criminal liability is 15 in the Czech Republic. Under the present legislation, the two boys aged just under 14 who stuck a screwdriver in their teacher's neck, narrowly missing his jugular vein, and brutally beat up a female teacher who witnessed the incident do not face serious punishment. According to the institution's lawyer, they could miss outings or have their pocket money taken away. Lucie Kovářová says the norms should be tightened, not just for the minors, but for their parents, who are ultimately responsible for them.
This does not start when they are 14. It starts when they are 3, 4, 5. And I think parents should be more responsible and more punished for problems. Like at in Slovakia, I guess, I think I heard that when kids are having problems, the parents stop getting benefits. So more responsibility, more competencies and consequences for their failing as parents.
The Education Ministry is now considering possible amendments to the law and should present them to the Cabinet by the start of the summer.
Daniela Lazarova there with that report on an ongoing problem in schools. The Mongolian wild horse used to roam the steppes, but the last wild horses are believed to have disappeared from their natural environment in the mid-1960s. Prague Zoo has in recent years been in the vanguard of steps to reintroduce the horses to the wild. In this week's Panorama with Daniela Lazarova, we check on how the ambitious project has been faring.
Years ago, Prague Zoo launched its biggest conservation project to date, helping to save the Przewalski horse from extinction. The zoo successfully breeds these Mongolian wild horses here in the Czech Republic and then transports them to the Mongolian steppes to enrich the gene pool of a small protected herd that is to help the endangered breed survive. I met up with the zoo spokeswoman Jana Ptačinská-Jiratová to find out how the project has been coming along.
We realized this project 3 years. We have transported already 12 horses to Mongolia, and we are very happy that we have news that the horses are well accommodated, that they are fine, and that their wealth is quite good. So we are very happy that the horses there are like the like the wild horses, they are assimilated to the groups, and also that the females has first babies. So this is very big success of this project. And in this moment we are preparing the fourth transport of Przewalski's horses to Mongolia, and we are thinking of next four horses which are going to be transported there.
You actually breed them here in Prague Zoo and then they're transported. How many animals do you have here? How many animals are there in the world today, and what zoos do you cooperate with?
Mm-hmm. So in the Prague Zoo we have two places where we breed our horses. We have here in the area of Prague Zoo in Prague, we have one exhibit, and then we have special acclimatization station in Dolny Dobřejov. It's in an area of Czech Siberia where the the weather conditions and the ground condition is much more similar to the Mongolian. We have around 20 horses in a European breeding program. In the zoos are more than 1,000 of the animals, but in the wild there was none of Przewalski's horse. Right now we have approximately 350 of them there.
What did it involve? What does it entail to actually transport them there and give them a start in the wild?
The first thing for us is to choose the right horses, because all of the horses are well physically based for this trip. So it means we have to choose the horses in good, wealthy condition, strength horses. Right now we are much more thinking about females, because females are producing foals and other babies. So this is the reason why we'll transport females. This is just one part of it, to find the horse. There is second part of the transport, the administrative, which is quite complicated and quite sophisticated and difficult. So we have to be in touch with Mongolian organizations and with Mongolian officers, and we have to plan the transport and fulfill a lot of documents connecting also to veterinary conditions and so on. And then we also have to find money to fund the transport, because to transport horses from Czech Republic to Mongolia, it's not cheap. It's quite expensive. You have to find a solution which plane could take it there and so on. We are very pleased that we cooperate with Czech Army, which help us to transport the horses to Mongolia, and give us the permission to use the CASA plane, army plane, which is used to transport the horses there. So thanks to the cooperation, we don't pay any high taxes for transport. We just pay the real costs for the plane.
Even so, who are your sponsors in this project?
We are quite happy that people are involved in this project, so also the people, the public, support us in these activities. So people send us DMS, donation SMS, and also they support us by sending money to our special account, charity account, created specifically for this aim. And of course we also gain money from selling merchandising and souvenirs with Przewalski's horses, with the motto "We help them survive." So it is also one part of the income. But of course the main part is from our sponsors or partners of the project.
So what other zoos do you cooperate with? Because you said there were 100 horses there. You yourself transported 12. Who else is in on this?
In the 90s, there were international transports to Mongolia. Holland, German and England organizations tried to transport horses. In the past, none of the zoo was involved in it. In the past, the commercial organizations were the realizators of the transports. But unfortunately, after some years, they stopped. Even the need of the next horses was quite high. There was no money from the commercial societies and associations, and the international transports stopped. So it was the reason why we, 3 years ago, started, or 4 years ago, started to think about renewing these activities and continue in these efforts.
Is it difficult to get the horses, once they're there, to breed and to live as they would normally in the wild when they were used to being taken care of?
I think the worst is to accommodate. So for the horses, is the most difficult problem is to be used on the weather conditions, on the new conditions, I mean the ground conditions, new food, new animals in the Mongolia. So it is the, I think, most difficult thing, that the horses has to accommodate to the new conditions, and that they have to strengthen themselves so they can live over the winter. Because in Mongolia there are quite big difference between winter and summer. The degrees are from minus 40 to plus 40. So it's big extreme of temperatures, and the horses have to be used for it.
How long did it take for the first foal to appear, and how many do you have there now?
It was 1 year when we have to wait for the first foal. But right now we have three of them, and we know that five mares are pregnant.
And the local authorities are helping. I understand there were two or three Mongolian officials here last week to thank you for your effort. Do they provide protection to these horses in the space that they're in? Or?
Yeah, I have to say that Mongolian people are helpful for us very much, because, you know, for them, Przewalski's horses is like a symbol. It's also animal which they really admire. They want to join to conservation project. So it's a better situation than in other part of third world, because you know, somewhere you make in situ project and conservational projects, and the people are not involved in the project. But in Mongolia, the people really would like to save the horses, so they really would like to help us. They join our activities, and they really want to gain the same aim as we. So it's a big advantage that Mongolian people are very helpful for us, and the officials also make everything to repeat the transports every year, and they help us also to protect the horses in the area where we settle them. So I think the horses are in good hands there.
So what happens now? How long does this project continue for? How many horses would it take for you to say, we're happy with that, we're satisfied, they're saved?
As much as possible. I mean, the population seems quite stable right now in Mongolia. But, you know, there is quite dangerous winter, and one winter could destroy the whole population. So we try to transport as many horses as we can.
Yana Iratkova talking there about the success of the Prague Zoo Conservation Project. If you've any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. But that's now all from me, Chris Johnston. Thanks for listening to Radio Prague, and goodbye.